Good morning. You can take your Bible and turn with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 4. And I'm just going to spend a couple moments in this chapter today, and then probably in the weeks to come, we'll come back to it again. So as we get started here in Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to look specifically at verse 25 in just a moment. As you look at most Christians, and even as you would look at your own life, I think that sadly for most of us, for many Christians, after having been washed and cleansed by the blood of Jesus, we put back on the filthy, gross, dirty, and disgusting garments of sin. In other words, even though we've been cleansed from sin, we continue to live in sin. And I know that's my experience. It's one of the things for me personally. It's so frustrating that, oh, I can't believe I sinned like that. And you probably feel the same way. That, why do I continue to live in sin, or like a little pagan? We often live like little pagans. And this text addresses that. Christ expects and demands that you walk in or clothe yourself with holiness. In other words, you must be set apart for Christ. Your life must be distinguishably different from the life of an unbeliever. So you must embrace this new walk, this new way of life. You must put on these new garments. And it's not simply enough to abandon the old walk. God wants you to put on the new. You must clothe yourself with the garments of holiness. It's interesting that the Bible actually says basically this is something that we have done, that we've put off the old garments, we've put on the new, and we're new creatures. And yet at the same time, it tells us while we've done that on the one hand, we're told that practically we need to continue to do that. We need to continue to put off the old garments of sin and put on this new way of life that pleases the Lord. And that's what's going on in Ephesians chapter 4 from verse 17 to the end of the chapter. God's saying that you need to walk in holiness. You need to live and have a new walk. And he explains what that looks like. Verses 25 to 32 provide us with five imperatives or commands for this new walk, this new way of living. And before we dive into them, we're going to look at one this week, and then we'll just look at one of these in each of the weeks to come. But before we dive into them, I just want to point out that there's a pattern with each one of these commands beginning in verse 25. And the pattern goes like this. Each one of the commands begins with the statement of a negative command, and then it's followed by the statement of a positive command, and then third, it's followed by either a given or implied theological reason for that command. So you have basically the command stated negatively, or in some negative sense, and then positively, and then the given or implied theological reason for that command. So verse 25, we have our first command and the expectation of the new walk, the new lifestyle. What does God want you to do? He says, you must speak the truth. That is imperative number one that we want to spend a few moments looking at today. And so following the pattern that I just highlighted, it begins with a negative command. Look at verse 25. Therefore, having put away falsehood, or basically, put away falsehood. That's our command stated in negative words, so to speak. If believers are going to walk worthy of their calling, they must reflect God. And God, and Jesus is the truth. John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, the life. The truth. A description of God as the truth. Deception and lying should have no part in the life of a believer. Titus 1 verse 2 tells us that God cannot lie, that basically it's impossible for God to lie. His character is truth. He is truth. And he wants you to be holy like he is holy. Have you lied or practiced deception in any way, especially as of late? Perhaps you've lied to a boss, a spouse, or a friend, or deceived them, or shared somehow half-truth. Maybe for those of you who are still at home, or you're a child in your parents' home, have you lied to your mom or your dad? Have you lied? whether you're adult or a child, have you lied to try to escape some negative consequence or to benefit yourself in some way? I think this is something that becomes quite common from a young age for children. You don't have to teach kids to lie. They just do it. I know that raising our kids, it's a common occurrence in our house for lies to be told. And typically, as parents, my wife and I, with the age of our children, can spot those lies very, very quickly. And sometimes we're even chuckling, laughing under our breath at how awful they are, but grieved on the inside that our kids are lying. But often what happens for adults is they become more civilized in their lies and deceptions. We figure out how to pull it off, and sometimes we're even deceiving ourselves and telling ourselves that our sin's okay or this or that's okay. There's something in the human heart that is just prone to lying, deception, and falsehood. And when that happens in your life or mine, we look like the Gentiles. When you lie, you look like a Gentile. And so the negative command here is to put away falsehood. And then the positive command that follows in the sequence, God says, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor in verse 25. You put away lying, you put away deception. Those are the old garments of a previous life. And you clothe yourself with truth, just like Jesus, just like God the Father. It's time for you and I to speak the truth and to speak it all the time. That's what God wants. That's what God expects. But it's interesting, this verse is going to tell us why we should do that. Remember, in our pattern or our sequence, you have a negative command followed by a positive command. And then, third, you've got the given or implied reason for that command. What's the reason for speaking the truth? Why does God tell us it's important? Well, as you think about that, why do you think it's important? Why do I think it's important? Well, I think it's important to speak the truth because it's the right thing to do. And God is truth, and he says to speak the truth. And I could think of other reasons. But I don't expect the reason that's given in this verse. But once you see it, it's like, oh, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. What's the reason God gives? Let's look at this whole verse again. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for or because we are members one of another. I didn't see that coming. The reason Paul gives is not it's a sin against God to lie. No, the reason Paul gives is not it's a sin against God, but it's a sin against the body. We're all members of one body if we know Jesus as our Savior. We're a part of the body of Christ. And when you deceive, lie, or you are two-faced, you hurt others. You hurt the body. You hurt the parts of the body that you are closest to. You hurt the body as a whole. And further, deception and lying destroy trust. One commentator, I think, hits it right on the head. He says this, fellowship is built on trust. Obviously, fellowship is something we want to have as a church. Fellowship is built on trust. And trust is built on truth. So falsehood undermines fellowship, while truth strengthens it. So important that we live lives of truthfulness and that we put away lying, that we live holy as God has called us to, that we walk in a new manner of life. Perhaps you've heard the story of the baker and the farmer, what was happening between the two. The baker suspected that the farmer who was supplying his butter was shortchanging him. He was giving him less than what he paid for. And his suspicions were confirmed when he carefully checked the weight of the butter for several days. And he was just upset. He realized, I'm being cheated. And so the baker, incensed, basically had the farmer arrested. And as the judge looked at the case, the judge decided to throw the case out when the farmer explained what happened. the farmer explained that he had no scales. And so in order to give the right amount to the baker, he used a 1 pound loaf of bread purchased from the baker as his counterbalance. Who is the one deceiving? The baker. We live in a world that's so crooked, so full of deception, so full of wrongdoing. That's the way the Gentiles live. And God tells us, put that away. Put away falsehood. Let each one of you speak the truth to his neighbor, for we are members of one another. A small lie, a big one, whatever it is in your mind, it's wrong. And probably most of us are tempted to be deceptive, to share half-truths, or whatever the case may be from time to time. And by God's grace, we want to live differently. Verse 20 talks about, but that is not the way you learned Christ. Christ teaches us a new way to live, and he enables us to live that way. And my hope and prayer is that by God's grace, for myself, for you, for our church as a whole, that we will be people that speak the truth. Thanks for tuning in here today as we spend a few minutes in God's Word. Next week, we'll look at the next verse together and hopefully grow from that as well. God bless and have a wonderful day.